How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. For 7 years.
7 years.
300 episodes and counting.
300 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net proudly present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by...
This is a paid program from Ronco.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are just 2 weeks away from the biggest pay-per-view of the summer, SummerSlam.
The price. You're wondering what the price is?
And you can see it all live on the WWE Network.
But you all know you're not going to spend $129.95 for it, and you're not going to spend $120 or $115, $110 or even $100. Not $90, not $80, and not even $70 like you may all be thinking.
For just...
And I know you can all afford this.
$9.99.
What do you think of that? Under $20 a month. Can't beat it. You can't. And look what you get. Look what you get.
At the SummerSlam pay-per-view, you will get to see the sadistic Bray Wyatt go one-on-one with Y2J Chris Jericho. And you can see it all on the WWE Network for just $9.99. But that's not all. Mr. Money in the Bank, Seth Rollins, will face the unstable Dean Ambrose. And you can catch every minute of that live on the WWE Network for just $9.99.
But wait, there's more. Let me show you this.
Later tonight, we will have the official contract signing for my match at SummerSlam against Brie Bella.
Which, by the way, you can catch live on the WWE Network for just $9.99. And that is not all, because, ladies and gentlemen, it is on. In what could be the biggest fight of the summer, the beast incarnate, Brock Lesnar, will try to take the championship from the 15-time WWE World Heavyweight Champion, John Cena. And ladies and gentlemen, remember that you can catch every moment of that spectacular match on the WWE Network live for only...
How much?
That's right, $9.99.
What a great holiday gift.
Oh, absolutely. You could finish all your gift shopping
right.
Any holiday with one toll-free call.
But wait, there's more.
If you promise to tell a friend about it so we can get some word-of-mouth advertising, you get the $40 Dial-O-Matic food slicer free. You get this over $150 value, all of it for only 4 easy payments of $14.99.
Ron, remember, now it's only $9.99.
please call the toll-free number that you see on your screen right now.
This was a paid program from Ronco.
I've got 999 problems, and the network apparently isn't one of them.
Hit me.
Nope, not allowed to hit anybody on this show. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and the poor soul who apparently needs a fist to the mouth would be Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
So, who decided to wake the angry giant?
Very good.
Very good. I will keep that in mind. Next, we have another man of the Big Apple, Mr. Jason Block.
You know, we New Yorkers know how to sell like anybody else. But I have never seen anything like that outside of a Ronco commercial. Wow, that was a hard sell, which we will get to later.
We will get to that. And all the way on the other side of the planet, where I'm wondering if $9.99 Australian will cover a network subscription. That would be bad news, Beeman.
I've got some bad news for the WWE. You owe me a therapy session, and guess what? It only costs $9.99.
Nice.
Dang!
Monday Night Raw had shilled the network so hard, that's the most I've heard, $9.99 before 3 a.m. on my television in ages.
I have actually seen people that have actually counted how many times it was said, and it was said over 24 bloody times.
I was going to take the over.
It's over. I can assure you it's over. Let me go ahead and pull it up. Thank you to OSW Review for actually, you know, keeping count. Through the entire night, 33 mentions of the $9.99 count.
I guess I stopped at 24 then.
Yeah, the network was even higher at 38.
Plus, there was a couple on SmackDown that are unaccounted for.
Yeah.
That even the heels were shelling it. It was that important. But understandable, because this is the big push to the renewals that, you know, WWE's like, oh, we're going to try to keep as many people as we can, really honest. And they knew they were driving it down our throats that way. They're, to the point that, you know, Lawler and Cole and JBL were having fun with it at a couple of points during the show.
Yeah. I really don't have anything to add. I wasn't able to watch.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Jason, you saw the comedy at the table.
I did, but I don't remember it necessarily. But I do know this. They pushed this hard, and you want to know something? Rightfully so. Because, oh boy, I mean, they are cutting back. You know, we've been talking a lot about the problems with TNA and all this sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. But WWE, while it may be in okay shape, they lost a lot of people this week. Okay, I mean, you know, because they're doing the 7% cut. And if I may name drop. Okay. They lost Mark Yeaton, okay?
Oh,
who is a long-time timekeeper for the WWE and production guy in the WWE. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, he only worked television. He's been the official timekeeper for ever. And I hope that he was at least getting some sort of combat pay for every other wrestler that got thrown at him during television.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I did have the pleasure and the honor of meeting him once, and, you know, very soft-spoken guy, and WWE, I hope you took care of him on the way out the door. I mean, yes. I understand there's cutbacks, but this man is just as integral to the company as the guys in the ring. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to find the exact other people who cut. But while you talk about the people who cut, talk about the breaking news that happened on Thursday.
Yeah.
Yes. This news became a big deal fairly quick. As Alberto Del Rio has been handed his walking papers for slapping around an internet guy.
Mm-hmm. The social media manager, to be downright precise.
Now, it's unprofessional behavior. To a point, it's justified, but you still don't punch the techs.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Steph? Well, you don't punch the computer guy.
Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to go into either write inflammatory things about you on Twitter, like they did.
Yes.
Or we're going to make sure you never exist.
So the story, depending on who you talk to, for a while, Kevin Dunn's name got thrown around, which would be actually rather hilarious, and I think a few people would actually want to see Kevin Dunn get the shit kicked out of him.
Hi.
But apparently, one of the social media guys had made a joke at Del Rio's expense, and the joke was mildly racist. Somebody was asked to clean off their plate, and the reply was, "That's Del Rio's job."
Yipe.
That's just a little racist. And
yeah.
While I am not, I hate political correctness with a passion.
Mm-hmm.
Del Rio had a legit beef, and he went and talked to the guy, and he says, "Look, you know, I didn't appreciate that."
Yeah.
The guy did not apologize. Smiled to Mr. Del Rio, and I bet you he winked, and that's why Del Rio punched his lights out.
Yeah.
By the way, the other guy who was also let go, according to PWA, 3 to 5 writers were let go from the creative team.
Oh.
That's nothing new.
Okay. And the senior vice president of creative, Edward Feldman, was also let go.
No idea.
Worked on a number of series in writing production roles, including Arliss, Dennis Miller, Wanda Sykes, Law and Order, and Married with Children. He had worked right under Triple H. So, other people. But go on. But go back to Mr. Del Rio.
So, anyway, Del Rio slapped him. And apparently hit him more than once. And this will not be tolerated, since this was not a scripted slapping around.
Mm-hmm.
And this tech guy is not a worker. So Del Rio was told that his services were no longer needed, and to add insult to injury, they handed him his 90-day no-compete.
Yep.
Because, you know, as soon as he walked out the doorstep, boy, he would have just walked. They were in Texas. He would walk 3 blocks and find a AAA show.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest, I would not be surprised if he were to go to AAA once his contract's up. Or once the 90 day is up. And by the way, there's also a really bad joke I can make right now. It's nothing too terrible, but it's still just bad, as in bad puns. First, he loses his cars. Then, he loses his scarf. Then, he loses Ricardo. And now, with the WWE, he's lost his car ear.
Oh, well, let me ask you this, Nikki, if I may lead into something.
All right.
Okay. What did you think personally of his WWE run?
I really think he was a victim of bad booking. I loved the Mexican aristocrat idea when he walked in. The Destiny thing could have been played with a whole lot more. They took way too long putting a belt on him. He was a guy, I felt, you know, knowing that he worked as Dos Caras Jr., he worked under a mask. Facially, Del Rio had great emotional range, even if half the time is a smirk and a wink. I appreciated that. I really did. He was a victim of poor booking, because he should have had the title long before he cashed in at SummerSlam a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm. What about the idea that he was just the Mexican version of JBL?
I was okay with that, because we didn't have JBL. The commercials, the vignettes they did with him showing how rich he was awesome. It was against type. He wasn't He wasn't an Eddie Guerrero. He wasn't a Rey Mysterio. He was Señor DiBiase. He was Señor Layfield. Juan Bradshaw Layfield was, I believe, Christian's joke. So he was different from the other Mexican wrestlers that they had brought in. He was something, you know, it was a typical gimmick if it were an American. But here we have a Mexican aristocrat that they really could have done so much more with. And I don't know what the hesitation was.
Oh, and by the way, we actually have an update from WrestleChat.net.
Oh.
What's Brick okay. say about this?
Okay. WWE posted the following Twitter update regarding their decision to fire Alberto. Quote, "At Viva Del Rio is responsible for his own actions. If you're angry at anyone, be angry at Alberto. There's no excuse for a pro athlete not to conduct themselves in a professional manner." Unquote.
I agree. I agree to a point. I mean, he had a reason to be mad, but you don't swing. I mean, how many hands up? Who doesn't want to punch their boss?
Many times.
Yeah.
Okay.
It depends on which boss. One of them I don't like. The others I do.
There, I have had several bosses that no, I would not raise a finger to. There are some that I would raise one finger to. There are some that require all five. However, you don't do that.
And this is 2014. Seriously.
Yeah.
There are ways to do it. He could have gone to Triple H directly.
Yeah.
And you know? Triple H probably would have said, "You're whining." But he would have gone to the staffer and said, "What the hell was that about?" And he could have probably sat him down and got this all hashed out before, you know, so Del Rio wouldn't have to swing. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, let me get my tinfoil hat out for a second. Del Rio's been spinning his wheels for most of 2014 anyway. I don't know when his contract was coming up, but I almost see this as a way of him getting out of the Fed because they're not going to do anything with him. And he can go back to AAA because I guarantee you he will not go to Orlando.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially since TNA may not exist at that point.
And some of the abuse, another nail that's going to be hammered into their coffin is an interesting picture leak that we're still trying to figure out if it was photoshopped or not. A lot of people are saying it's not.
It is actually not. What happened was, I'll find it. It was an actual true. It was a little leakage on their part. It was too soon for that to happen. Actually.
Okay.
Let me find that particular piece of news.
Yeah, while you're looking for that, I'll fill Statboy in. Essentially, a picture got out of the trucks, one of the production trucks with the new logo.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a picture. It shows a guy standing in front of the trailer. The Usos are on it. It has the SmackDown logo, but it lists SmackDown for Thursday.
Yes, I have seen it.
Okay, here it is. According to WWE source, the SmackDown move for Thursday is something that has been considered, but no decision has been made. With the full scheduling to be put into place, the decision will come very soon. The same source noted that for the Thursday time slot, the production trucks was a, quote, overzealous move, and that the trucks are being fixed to reflect the current information. Okay, can you hit a button for me, please, Nikki, on that one?
Bullshit.
Right, because let me just tell you something. You don't put those things on a truck unless it's a done deal. You know better than that, right?
I'm sorry. There's too much money involved if you're going to be doing that. Because the wrap, getting the wraps done is no big deal. There's hundreds of businesses that do it. It's not cheap. And for a high-end production company like the WWE, they're not going to do something like that lightly.
Yeah.
And
they smell blood. No joking. Yeah. They smell blood.
So, Shane, how big of a fuck you is this to TNA?
I think that's a very polite way of putting it. I think they're pretty much pissing all over Dixie Carter right now. So as much as I'd like to feel sympathy for, you know, Dixie Carter going through a table in which Bully Ray took 99% of the friggin' bump, that's a big fuck you to Dixie Carter. And I think CM Punk will agree.
Yes, I think, hey, TNA.
All right, fuck you.
Anyway, I would also like to announce our, speaking of that, I want to get something from the zombie, from the TNA zombies. Mikey, right. I love you, man. We're going to have to get you a Skype account somehow. TNA fanboys think that Dixie is the first woman Bubba's ever put through a table.
Do you have a laughter? I think there's got to be. You got to play the laughter sound effect for that one, please.
And don't mind if I do.
I think right now, though, there is a certain woman that just wants to, you know, go up to Dixie Carter right now and bitch smack her in the face and say, "Listen here, bitch. I was taking better bumps than you when I was 85 years old."
If she was still with us, she would say, "I at least know how to do that move, and at least I didn't need to be protected. Wanted to go through, and I went through.
I didn't hit my head
on the floor."
Yeah, even Bully Ray himself has gone on a live interview and said Mae Young actually smacked him in the head and said, "Listen, next time you put me through a table, you put me through it hard. Treat me like one of the boys."
That's exactly what she said.
Wow.
Yep.
And to this Mr. and Mrs. Zombies and all those that actually listen to my show, Terry Runnels, Mae Young, Molly Holly, Trish Stratus, Lita, Jazz, Tori Wilson, Stacey Keefler would like to all say hello in their own unique ways. So, but Jason, you told me that there might still be some legs to them getting re-signed with Spike, because they've had some of their muck-a-mucks backstage at the current tapings for stuff that's going to be airing in September.
That is correct. The president of Spike was at the TNA tapings this week. I just have to make sure to get the right guy in there, though I get the name. A number of Spike TV executives, including President Kevin Kay, were at the tapings which fulfilled their contract through September 25th. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let me just say this. If your president goes to the TNA tapings, I think the show, we talked about this, it was either going to stay on Spike or not be at all. And I think that if your executives are going to the network, is going to the taping, I think there's smoke, if you know what I mean. That's just the way I see it.
The way I'm seeing it is like, okay, I got to see this for myself. And I just get this image in my mind of the honchos watching some of what's going on and say,
"That's what all the fuss is about."
Because right now I think TNA is teetering on the edge with Spike TV as it is. This is drawn, actually, Shane, they're drawing tons of comparisons to the last days of ECW, the way TNA is teetering right now.
That's painful. Actually, no, I'm happy to say that because, well, let's face facts, ECW was far better than TNA, but anyways.
I'm not comparing the product by quality. I'm comparing it pretty much by scenario.
Oh, by scenario, well, this whole huge climactic thing of Dixie Carter getting put through a table only managed to draw, what, like 20,000 extra viewers.
30,000, like, that's it.
38, yeah.
38,000 extra viewers. If that doesn't tell you something, Dixie, then you are the dumbest woman on God's green earth.
And the thing is, they promoted the crap out of this show.
And but the fact that it was taped about a month ago, everybody's already seen it.
Mm-hmm.
So why watch? You know, why watch the quote unquote live actual incident when you've already seen it? Sorry,
yeah,
that's
and this is what killed the thing even further is the fact that TNA comes out like later on to give an update on Dixie's on Dixie's condition, and they made it so unrealistic because they're like, yeah, Dixie went to a local hospital in New York City and got to see an orthopedic surgeon like that.
Jason, how quick can you get a surgeon in New York City? Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow. You're funny, Nikki, tonight. Seriously.
So,
like, Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, but even Donald Trump, with the billions of dollars that he's got, not even he could see an orthopedic surgeon that freaking quickly, or just a plain surgeon in general.
That's because most of them would want their cash up front. Thank you.
Yeah, no kidding. No comment. So, I'm not going. Yeah, speaking of, speaking of cash up front, boy, that's...
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
No, come on. Now, the one thing, the reason I didn't, I'm hesitant to compare ECW to TNA is at least the person in charge of ECW was garnered some respect.
Paul Heyman is an evil genius. He's Brainiac, he's the leader, he's Dr. Victor Von Doom all rolled into one.
And then some. Because his DVD, aptly titled, Ladies and Gentlemen, My Name is Paul Heyman, is on everybody's back order list. I don't even have mine.
I just got mine today.
And I heard a muckamuck got his before me. What did I do to my Uncle Paul? Seriously.
Bouncy. Bouncy.
Hey!
Oh, hi.
You leave our finances out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Statboy, he stole your joke. You should be displeased.
Muckamuck. I'm going to need to have some talks with you after the show.
Now, the DVD, I understand, is very, very good in your unbiased opinions. Mine might be a little slanted.
Carl, you go first.
Yeah, it is. Very well put together.
I understand that they managed to find all kinds of people to talk about my dear Uncle Paul.
There were no... These were all new interviews, including, if I can name this, Todd Gordon, Ron Buffone, Raven, Tommy Dreamer, Edge, CM Punk, Beth Phoenix, Bray Wyatt, Renee Young, Joey Styles, Stephanie McMahon, Mick Foley... bunch of other people, and it is a warts and all beautiful documentary.
I'll give you another name.
All right,
Larry Zbysko.
That is correct, Zbysko.
Whoa!
Yes.
Now my only question, and this is going to be absolutely weird: are there any guys there from Studio 54?
No. And also Bill Apter was there.
Bill Apter, yeah, there was a piece on his time at Studio 54 also.
Damn.
No,
they put it to you this way. The story starts, the DVD starts, and by the way, I got the Blu-ray edition. Did you get the Blu-ray or the DVD edition?
DVD, they didn't have the Blu-ray.
Okay. It starts with, and Paul Heyman calls himself the schmuck son of a Holocaust survivor and the best personal injury lawyer in the Bronx, who just happens to be, you know, one of the greatest minds in history. And it starts with the fact that Paul Heyman ran a movie poster business out of his house at 11, snuck his way into the Madison Square Garden at 14, okay, and ingratiated himself onto a bunch of people, but made friends with Classy Freddy Blassie, you know, the Grand Wizard, and others, okay? Yeah. And he tells tons of stories about how if certain things didn't go his way, he would not be in the business where he's in. But he's a hustler.
That's a New York mentality, Jason. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. But they talk about why Paul Heyman is who he is, why he, you know, they did talk about the WCW, the WWECW era, and how much it sucked. Okay. And
I just wish they had told the whole story about this number disaster.
Well, small spoiler, just wait till you see Joey Styles' comments on it.
Yeah.
I hope I get mine before I leave for Indianapolis. I want to watch it on the plane. Anyway. Yeah,
but put it to you this way, I've not seen you. What this is you know, a documentary and a bunch of promos and a couple of matches. But
love the promo work too.
The promo work is great. The which I've seen some of it, not all of it. But the documentary itself is out of the order. But now, tell me this, Carl.
Yes.
Stephanie looked like she was being pulled through teeth because she doesn't like Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I kind of gathered that too.
Oh, that's been a long-standing thing. I was surprised that she even sat down for this.
Oh, here we go. I'm going to look at some of the listings here right quick, if I may.
All right.
On the promo part. Got quite a few from the AWA, WCW, ECW, the original one, on one disc. And the rest is all his WWE stuff. Including probably my favorite promo that he ever did. Okay. The end of the invasion of 2001. I hate your stinking the guts.
The night he got fired.
No. This was before the Survivor Series.
Oh, this was before Survivor Series? Okay.
SmackDown and Taz choked him out afterwards.
Okay.
His infamous one, Nikki. Come on, you should remember this one. The one where he was in the same ring with Vince McMahon and told him what the whole world thought about him. About how he stabbed every promoter in the back.
Oh no, I know that promo. There's other promos that actually capture my heart a little more.
And he also told something. He actually cleared up some rumors about, was he financially supported by Vince McMahon? Yes. Was he ever paid by Vince McMahon? No. Never. He flatly denied it. But he will say there was one thing he didn't talk about, which is the lawsuit against WCW.
No, he didn't get into that.
No. But I will say this. If you are a wrestling fan, if you are a Paul Heyman fan, this is an absolute must-buy.
And if you're not, get it.
Yeah.
Yep. Because this is an incredible journey that you need to see. This is something that couldn't be written or booked because nobody would believe it. I'm guessing my Uncle Paul barely believes what happened.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like I said, there's a couple of spots, right, Carl, where if things didn't go his way for one specific thing, he wouldn't be here.
He wouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah.
Right. There's a specific moment, which I'm not going to spoil, that happens early on in his career that if it didn't happen the way it did, he would never be the evil genius that he is.
Absolutely.
He would still be an injury. He would be a personal injury lawyer in the Bronx.
Yeah. I mean, he would be because of certain things. Okay.
All right. Like I said, I'm a little irked that I don't have my copy yet. I'm hoping that I will get it before I do my traveling. For anybody who will be looking for me next week, quick shill, I will be in Indianapolis for one of the largest role-playing dice and board and card game conventions in the United States.
Please kidnap me.
And one of the oldest. It is older than me.
And Jason can tell where he's going, too.
Yes, I will be at the Card of Honor, I believe it is called. Let me. Was it Ballfield of Honor? Field of Honor, I think it's called. Which will be on the 15th at MCU Park. The park that used to hold TNA now wants to hold Ring of Honor. It's called Field of Honor at 7:30. And will be available on video on demand as well.
And I bring this up because next week, you wonder who's going to be hosting this madhouse? I.
Panic.
But yes, if you are looking for me, find your way to Indianapolis for Gen Con, the copyrighted best 4 days in gaming, August 14th through the 17th. One of the, like I said, one of the oldest gaming conventions in the entire country. Started by TSR, I had books from 1981 that had advertisements for it in the back. So, but that is not about wrestling, although I will tell you, I got a buddy who is trying to get the original CCG, WWE CCG back off the ground.
Oh, Raw Deal?
I don't know if you know Dustin Davidson, D2. He was an early panelist on our show.
Yeah.
When I saw him last year, he was in a suit.
Oh.
He's trying to get he is serious about getting this back off the ground.
Ooh.
I will have an update for this. Not next Friday, but the Friday after, I promise. I'm going to find him. I'm going to put him up against the wall. I'm going to say, talk to me. Plus, I'm going to tell him he can have a shitload of cards out of my stash if he needs them.
And I've got a full pack, too.
So, yeah. I can tell him, you know, if he just wants a bunch of cards just for the sake of. I'm only going to keep a handful. I've got a pinch of cards that I keep because I can verify from the shot I was there.
Nice.
There are a couple of cards they did in 04-05 that were shot at Detroit Draft Night because they were taken from the giant locker room clearing schmoz. So I kept those. I have a few other ones that I'm definitely going to keep. So, but I am getting off topic. Let's see. We've got everyday heroes. We've got superheroes. We've got insane heroes. We've got Mark Henry. We've got a superhero trying to use another superhero's powers. And that I can actually sum up real quick like this. Cena's wheel of merchandise coloring came through and it said Hulk Hogan.
Oh, dear God, no.
Mm-hmm.
Red and yellow, ladies and gentlemen, just in time for Hulk Hogan's birthday. So for his present on next Monday's Raw, he will be shaking hands with the last son of Poop Don.
Dang.
Thank you, Jim. Anyway. But I speak of different kind of superheroes because I'm going to talk about one that hasn't been on TV much lately, and that's Daniel Bryan. We talked a couple of weeks ago, Shane, about the fact that Daniel Bryan choked out, pretty much, you know, locked up a guy who broke into his house.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he's still getting a lot of respect from people. Even Titus O'Neil just recently did an interview and praised the man for having a neck injury but still being able to do that.
It gets better. Because apparently either Daniel Bryan is hiding a cape somewhere or these crooks are really that stupid that apparently the same vehicle they had when they were breaking into Daniel Bryan's home, was spotted at another location. They broke up a burglary ring off of Daniel Bryan's information and the one guy that he caught.
Wow.
Seriously. Now, there's somebody I wouldn't mind having, you know, doing police work in my city.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Now, thankfully, I will admit that I complained that I didn't get any Daniel Bryan on the WrestleMania special. Jason straightened me out on this. WWE is being tasteful enough not to say that they sent those guys, that Steph and Hunter sent those guys after Bryan and Bree.
Yeah, thank God.
Too easy. Now, the other reason I'm bringing them up is just because the WrestleMania special they ran last weekend, let's just say I wasn't pleased when I first turned it on. Because, granted, they showed major events from WrestleMania. We got to see John Cena versus Bray Wyatt. We got to see Brock Lesnar break the streak. Just in case you didn't believe my Uncle Paul when he told you the first 100,000 times. But neither of Daniel Bryan's matches were featured.
That's disappointing.
But sadly, Stat Boy, it's logical.
Yeah.
I'd probably just use my fine little network and take my $9.99 and go pull up WrestleMania and watch those two matches.
Uh-huh.
But the only reason they showed these two matches in particular is that this was a one-hour shill for SummerSlam.
That does make sense. That does make sense.
They showed these matches specifically to help hype Cena Lesnar. So, I mean, they even then, the Wyatt's entrance was abridged a little bit. Trying to remember what else. I didn't watch the whole thing. Did you watch it, Jason?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You mean the one-hour special?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a very edited version of the opening promo.
Mm-hmm.
Which was
true. They did a heavily edited version of the Hogan Austin Rock thing. They took out all the Silverdome jokes. Come on!
Yeah, I know. They took out the Silverdome jokes and everything. Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible.
I thought Hogan didn't have creative control anymore.
Yeah, I know. It was awful. But and then they just did the two matches. That's it. And then it was done.
So, you know, they kind of didn't have me anyway because they did that opening promo, and then I noticed they weren't going to do anything with Bryan. I understand it. But Shane, I don't have to like it.
No, of course not. I mean, I don't get why they edit out, like, try to make things so niche perfect, but people like seeing reality. Like, that not everyone's perfect, but I guess Vince McMahon or Triple H, whoever's running the boat these days, just wants perfection.
No, this is something that WWE has done for years. If one of the reasons that a lot of people ordered pay-per-views was so that they could record them so they could have them warts and all. If you go to the network and you go look up WrestleMania 26, I think was the year that Swagger won the Money in the Bank, they fixed the end of the match so he's not hanging up there for a minute and a half trying to undo the lock.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's been cleaned up. But if you got it that day, you've got that whole minute. Now, granted, it's a little thing, but getting the, pardon the pun, raw footage is still very highly prized by viewers. They would rather have the live broadcast than the slightly polished DVD edition.
And this wasn't polished. This was repackaged. It was like transformed.
Yeah. The fact that they edited down the Three Legends promo and took out all the bloopers, which was half of the fun of the promo. But, you know, you only had an hour, you know, at least put your best foot forward, and you're on network, so you gotta look nice and shiny clean for them.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, exactly. This was not a wrestling fans, you know, WrestleMania show. This
right.
is for the casual fan.
Yes. Okay.
And, you know, but that's okay.
And that's why they wouldn't have done something like showed us the Shield versus the Outlaws and Kane.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a squash, but it was a fun match.
But the thing is that no Daniel Bryan stunned at this. You know?
Especially considering the fact that, you know, Triple H and Daniel Bryan was one hell of a match.
It was. And the triple threat was a blast too. Even with Randy Orton in it.
It was a good match. No Daniel Bryan, dumb. Really dumb.
Huh?
Like I said, I understand. That doesn't mean I have to like it. So I'm going to talk about something that I do like to talk about.
I will screw up the entire pay-per-view.
Oh, God. Hello. okay. I think he took batshit crazy, excuse my language, to a whole new level on Monday.
Oh, my God. I was in tears. It was so awesome. Just watching, you know, when they were doing – they did a beat the clock thing. And Ambrose got ended up in a long, drawn-out match with Del Rio, which turns out it was – Del Rio's last match that went just over 15 minutes, and we joked that it should have been 16 whatever to get 999 seconds.
It 999 seconds would be, I what is it, 1639, I believe? Yes.
Yeah.
And they fell a little short of that. I would have laughed if they did it.
No, I'm sorry, 1839. I'm sorry. 18, yeah. Whatever.
I don't think they could have gotten 5 more minutes out of that match. Anyway, so fast forward to Rollins' match, where first out comes RVD, who apparently must not be 100%, but just needed a pop. And it was announced, no, Rob's not your opponent, Mr. Rollins. Heath Slater is. To which the crowd elicits a collective groan, like, oh God, Rollins is just gonna kill him. So, turns out to be a decent match. Screw that up too.
Yeah, he comes out like, I have to describe this, right?
Go for
it. He takes the case, opens the case, tears the contract into little bitty pieces. Okay,
that irks Mr. Rollins.
Right, but he's still in the match.
Yeah. But the match is good.
Yes, match is still going on. Then takes a fan's soda, pours it into the case.
Distracts if I'm not mistaken, that was a plant, but whatevs.
Right. Okay.
Eh.
Okay. Then, step 3, add 1 bucket of popcorn. Step 4, add JBL's hat.
Step 5, listen to JBL bitch about it for the next 3 shows.
Jesus! Right. Okay. Step 6, shake the suitcase so it leaks.
All over Michael Cole.
Right. Ew.
Step 7, Heath Slater wins a match.
Woohoo!
Yes.
And nobody believes it. Nobody believes it. JBL still didn't believe it on SmackDown, and he called the damn match.
I was just waiting for JBL to go, oh my God, the streak is over again! I was like, But no, that it was really good for Heath Slater. Like, I'm glad he won a match, but oh god, the doofosity from Dean Ambrose. Sweet Jesus.
I'll tell you what, the spoilers for SmackDown did not do justice to what Dean did on SmackDown. I wish I had the audio for this. He comes out, he has a little slip of paper in his ratty old jacket where he starts listing off possible matches. And the first match he mentions is a pole match. Take that, TNA. Then a coal miner's glove match, which I thought, okay, take that, Michael Cole. So a couple other matches. You mentioned something about alligators on the outside of the ring, but that the logistics of that wouldn't work anyway. And he just keeps on going with these crazy matches. Loser washes Triple H's car, but I think Seth Rollins does that already, so that wasn't a good idea either. Mm-hmm. It sounds like shit that, you know, sadly, I can hear this being thought up in the car on the way to the show. I can hear this in my head. So Rollins is like, get on with it. So Dean says, okay. You could call it a human cage match. You can call it a wall of flesh match. There's a bunch of different names for it. It's going to be a lumberjack match.
And I understand it, but
Now, actually, the commentators made a very good point. There will be no love lost for anybody that's outside of that ring because everybody hates Rollins because he's Triple H's golden boy. There are a lot of people that still have a grudge on Ambrose for everything they did with the Shield. So if you get thrown out of the ring, you're getting your ass kicked. I postulated, and let me hear your thoughts on this, Stepway, that Dean went for the lumberjack match because he thinks there's more people that hate Triple H and Rollins than hate him.
Yeah, at this point, that sounds about right. Because, well, after everything that Hunter and Seth have done in the last several months, yeah, there's going to be no love lost for them at all.
Shane, your thoughts on this stipulation?
I like it personally myself. Also, just let you know that there probably won't be an authority interference. But it's not going to take away from the match. I don't honestly think these two are going to put on a hell of a match for SummerSlam, and I can't wait.
It's going to be the start, not the finish.
So. And someone that will be conspicuous by his absence, I honestly think he's not going to be at SummerSlam, is Kane. After his failure in a Last Man Standing match against Roman Reigns, he reported back to the authority and turned in his mask.
Well, I've heard some interesting news about that, and I don't know if it's going to be true or not. If it is, I'll find it very interesting. But Kane might be gone, but we might be getting Jacob Goodnight in return. That's just what I've been hearing for the grapevine anyways.
Makes sense. I'm okay with this because, I mean, I'm told, since I'm not a horror fan, that See No Evil was actually a very good horror movie. And that the sequel was just a matter of, you know, just getting time to get their people back together and twist Kane's arm into going and shooting another movie. Like I said, I'm not a horror fan, so I haven't seen the first one.
Well, I think people are more just worried that, you know, Kane's just going to be coming out with a friggin' giant metal hook again. But no, everyone just calm down. It's okay.
No, it's all good. I mean, personally, I almost saw it as almost a retirement statement. Or, you know, if you don't mind, I can't be a monster right now. I got to go promote a movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Isaac Yankum, DDS.
Bad, very bad, Beeman. Just for that.
Wrong.
Anyway.
Hey, I'm called Bad News Beeman for a reason, okay? I'm sorry, but, you know, just... Kane, Kane has just gotten, has had just too many losses. It's made him completely snap, and Isaac Yankum has returned. Oh, dear God. But, yeah, so, no. We don't want WWE turning into TNA. Don't. Just don't do it.
Please don't do it. The other big story, and I should be more excited about this. I really, really should. Hey, TNA, you're doing it wrong. You want to see women getting hurt, sick another woman on them. Cat fights are more fun anyway. Mm-hmm. And this is coming from a chick. between Paige and AJ being at each other's throats, and Brie Bella finally getting Stephanie McMahon to sign on the dotted line for a match at SummerSlam, I should be more excited about the Brie Bella Stephanie McMahon thing. I really should.
I think we all should.
Yeah.
Because I'm giving it a thumbs up just for one epic part of Stephanie McMahon actually doing a pedigree.
Not just one pedigree, but two.
Well, they were twins. She had to take care of both of them.
And
did she just pedigree Brie twice?
No, she did. She did both.
Okay.
Here's my bad news for Triple H. How does it feel, Mr. Levesque, knowing that your wife does a better pedigree than you?
Okay, that'll get you fired.
Yeah.
No, I'm being sarcastic. No, but it was decent. I'll give the Bella Twins props for actually selling it.
Right, really, but here's the thing, though. Okay. It's about the acting.
And maybe that's it, because Nikki and Brie cannot act. Stephanie can't act either.
Okay, here's the deal. Brie and Nikki are getting over. It's just Stephanie. Oh my God. Seriously.
I hate this. I'm sorry. Stephanie McMahon cannot act to save her life. I know she wants to be on TV, and I know she cuts quite an attractive figure on TV.
She's the best. I mean, best. Anyway,
Chris Jericho said thank you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And, okay, PG era question. Speaking of Chris Jericho, why the hell are you guys putting the Let's Turn the Lights Off and Screw song as the song for SummerSlam? Seriously.
But you said it was going to be. You called it.
Yeah. I called it, and I'm kind of facepalming because from the same album, Tonight makes a whole lot more sense.
Okay.
Because, okay, yeah, let's let all those little 6-year-old Cena fans listen to Lights Go Out and ask Mommy all the questions. What does that mean? Mommy, what does it mean when a body's humming?
WWE presents Sex Education. I mean, SummerSlam.
Nice.
Okay. So, but yeah, I should be more excited for this. I really, really should, because it is that important, and we're actually spotlighting something else in the Divas division, not just the title. But
I will agree that the Brie Stephanie McMahon thing should be bigger than what it was, or what it currently is, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the PG era that's just stopping it. Like, that is probably the most aggressive you're going to see, like, Stephanie and Brie Bella get with this whole thing.
Now, they might take it a step further for the match, but I'm not expecting much.
I honestly think if you're looking for, like, Attitude Era type stuff, then the Paige-AJ Lee match is where it's going to be at.
Oh, yeah.
That's just my humble opinion.
No, you're right. Speaking of the evil boss, and speaking of Chris Jericho, Shane, you should have gone to, you should have found your way over to some of the Australia shows.
Oh, seriously? I cannot respect those two men enough. Seriously. I wish I went to the Melbourne show to see this live, because that, like, I didn't even know about this poor man's condition. until just recently. I thought it was a great great thing that Jericho and Triple H did nonetheless. But yeah, even now you found out about this, it's just like top props to these two.
Okay. First of all, this is huge kayfabe breaking because I never thought Chris Jericho or Triple H could get along on anything. Jericho still wants his win from Triple H back. Anyway, but what we're talking about is a gentleman that lives in Australia. This guy's got terminal cancer, but ended up, you know, befriending Jericho through Fozzy when they came through Australia on their concert tour. They stayed in touch via social media, and the guy survived well past what the doctors had said, had predicted. They said, you know, he had only 3 or 4 months to live. He's still here. So they find out that this guy is, I guess, is either, you know, has a wonderful girlfriend. He wants to propose to her, but, you know, he's told Jericho, I've done all these joke proposals, and she keeps saying, when you're serious about this, it better be big. So a little light bulb goes off on Jericho, over Jericho's head and all over his coat. He dials up the evil boss and he says, hey, we got to do this. This would be so awesome. I want him to propose to his bride-to-be in the middle of a WWE ring at one of our shows.
Nice.
And I call him the evil boss, but I'll tell you what, that is, you know, from a business perspective, that's PR. From a personal perspective, he'd look even more like an asshole if he said no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you notice this is the second time he has done something like this, Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, of course we're talking about Connor's Cure as well,
right?
Yeah.
You know, Connor the Crusher and all that sort of stuff. And by the way, find the unedited version, not the show thing that they're showing at the house shows. Find the unedited version of it. You know, just saying. But go on.
Ow. Okay, sorry. So, but yeah, so they're WWE.com actually posted the video of this, and I couldn't get it to work, but, you know, mad props to the Fed for doing this for this guy, and I hope they throw, I realize that they're in the middle of budget cuts, but can you guys spare a couple of grand to give this guy a proper wedding?
I'll tell you what, they really should, because guys, I'll paint the picture for you. Rod Laver Arena, 15,000 strong in this arena, okay? This guy has gotten in the ring. Chris Jericho's in there with them. They hold up signs asking his girlfriend if she will marry him. There are 15,000 strong. Don't know this guy from a bar of soap. Don't. But they're all chanting, yes, yes, yes. And obviously she said yes, and the crowd just erupted. It was probably the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's epic. That's awesome. I mean, you know, you can't write stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It just stuff like that happens, and you got to let it happen. So good on the Fed. Good on Hunter. Good on Jericho. Thank you for agreeing on something, gentlemen. And Hunter, let Jericho win at least once, please.
And hopefully, as I was about to say, hopefully this guy will live long enough to have his wedding that he wants.
I think
the love of his life.
After a send off like that, yes. Did I mention that next week, next Monday is Hulk Hogan's birthday?
In passing.
Apparently WWE and 2K Sports thinks that they should give the fans a Hulkamania birthday present.
Hmm?
If there is a limited edition Hulkamania set for 2K15...
Like they did for the Undertaker edition last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Right? Right.
It's Hulkamania era packaging, a card-sized photo signed by the Hulkster himself, supposedly. A piece of the ring canvas from Hogan's return on the Monday Night Raw that's coming up. A Funko vinyl Hogan figure, and two exclusive Hogan playables, Classic Red and Yellow and NWO Hollywood. You will get, if you order the set, you also get this both Stings too.
Which is also going to be in the previews for everything. I'm sorry. I apologize. I didn't mean to jump in.
No, you're right.
The Sting thing is part of every pre-order edition.
Well, it'd be stupid not to include it in all the pre-orders.
Oh, yes. But here's the thing that has actually cheesed me off with WWE 2K15.
All right.
I'm happy that I get Sting. That's fine. But I do not get the WWE career mode I was promised for this freaking game. Due to the fact that I do not own a PS4 or an Xbox One. Because apparently the career mode is only going to be available to those who are on the next-gen consoles.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
No, it's called buy our new platform. It's called spend money, people.
Yeah, no.
If I had the money to spend, is usually the response.
Yes, I'm gonna go out right now and just buy a PS4 for $550, and then spend another $79 just to get WWE 2K15.
You poor Australians.
Well, first of all, IGN is profiling the game over this month, and we have some news about it if you're interested.
I don't mean to infringe on Pixel Nation, but go ahead.
Well, no, this is called cross promotion, so we're good. Okay, right. It's going to have two distinct career modes. The first is called 2K Showcase, which will be broken up in two episodes, each focusing on an epic rivalry from the WWE's past. The second is going to be called My Career. Quote, this mode has been lifted from NBA 2K14 and adapted to the WWE environment. So what happens is you're embracing all the cheeseball amateur hour characters and cutscenes with voiced and motion-capped WWE superstars. And, of course, you've got 50 days of motion capture sessions. Okay?
And if they couldn't get the wrestler, they got Colt Cabana.
Is that true?
I believe
so.
Yeah,
no, Colt Cabana has done work for the WWE 2K15 game.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. And 5 times the animation data of 2K14, and they've also spruced up the commentary, 4 times as many lines as recorded, so not as much repeat lines, which I think is the key to the commentary, for the most part.
As long as at some point I can actually turn it off, no offense to the commentators, because... No offense to the commentators. I don't want to listen. If I want to hear Michael Cole and JBL argue, I'll go watch their web show.
Okay.
But no, I'm glad there's extra commentary in there because, you know, everybody lampoons wrestling commentary in the games because some of it is pretty darn random. And some of it's pretty messed up and poorly timed anyway. But I am nitpicking. So I think I'm running out of stuff to talk about. So I think I'm going to go ahead and call this a show. Muckamuck, do we still plug at this time of night? Muckamuck.
Okay. Well, why don't we go to somebody else?
Okay.
First.
All right. Shane, do you have anything to promote, or do you have any good news or bad news you want to pass along?
Well, definitely not Cena's new Cena Mania crappy gear. Hell no. seriously. No, seriously. I'm waiting for that. I'm just waiting for Monday when he comes out and goes, "What you gonna do, brother, when Cena Mania runs wild on you?" That's what I'm waiting for. But anyways,
I'm going to hear your television explode from my place, aren't I?
Yep, it's gonna be. I'm gonna be checking an eye shake. Not eye shake. Brutus Beefcake. Go, Jesus!
Jesus!
Anyway.
But no, I've got nothing to promote except for WWE. Please get the freaking career mode on 2K15 for the PS3. Thank you.
Statboy, do you have anything to promote?
Not really, except for I have the day off tomorrow. Woo-woo!
Hooray!
Hooray! Yes, exactly.
Now, Jason, you always have something to hype.
Yes, I do. I will do that. First of all, last night, thank you, Hi Mucky Muck, the BS Big Show, which we recorded last night, first preseason mode, is up now on the website. We talked about Ray Rice. We talked about Daniel Snyder and Outside the Lines and all that stuff. But we also talked about the preseason games and who's going to be with whom specifically. And we are in full preseason mode right now because the season starts, I believe, 4 weeks from today. Is that about right? Something like that, or
yeah.
Less than, wow, it's crazy. 4 weeks from today. And our chief high baseball guy, Jim Williams, recorded an edition of Touch 'Em All, which is I don't know if that is up yet as well, but which is also up. Yes, it is. Just talked about the stuff in baseball because we are getting into the stretch run. We talked about the trade deadlines. Who did what specifically? WLTI Live is up. I believe we're going to be recording a new episode next week, hopefully. Don't know. And hopefully this weekend we will get a Red State Blue Say. Finally, hopefully I'd like to get that done. I don't know if Ethan's going to be around because he is at Ticona 4 with Chico Alexander and a bunch of game show geeks doing some crazy trivia stuff at the Tropicana Hotel as we speak. So I believe that's it.
Well, I have nothing to promote because I am right here. Now, admittedly, I will not be here next week, but, you know, I leave the show in good hands, which means, Statboy, behave yourself.
I may not be able to because I'll be just getting off of work.
Well, then print your spreadsheet in the morning.
Yeah.
Jason, if you end up on the panel, do remember there are other people involved.
Yes, I know, dear. Yes, I know.
Muckamuck will be in charge. You all have been warned. And Mr. Beeman, you know you are always welcome.
Oh, yes, I know. But don't worry, I won't be getting too crazy. I'll be saving that all for SummerSlam.
That's what I thought. So, for Bad News Beeman, for Statboy Josh Henniger, for Jason Block, and for our chief muckety muck Carl Chenier, my name is Nikki Heyman, and you better be watching my uncle's DVD. Or Blu-ray, whichever one you actually spent some money on.